Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hutt, Buddy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along the Monday morning episode. Sam, Father's Day yesterday, were you treated well?
Ah, it was a really good Father's Day. Sometimes, you know what it's like, sometimes it's an afterthought, let's be honest, right? Mm. I don't know, with your kids, sometimes in mine. But
they don't put a lot of effort in, mine, I've got to say.
They don't, yeah.
No. Well, but I don't encourage them, because I always go on about what a load of bollocks it is.
Yeah, exactly, I don't make a big deal out of it myself. I think it's mainly for adults to talk about how much, I don't know. I'm sure you'll have a point of view on this, but there's a lot of social media activity by adults and not by the children themselves. However, on this occasion, it was a perfect Father's Day. I couldn't have chosen it better. I woke up, I were given two sensational cards that both made me laugh out loud, but also were touching. I put Len's one on Twitter. I couldn't resist. He hates me putting things on social media, but I did that. I didn't put my daughter's one on because, apart from anything else, it was sort of like too many. There was a lot of in jokes that only like me and her would get. Right. But I was very touched by it. And you know what it's like with daughters in particular? They behave as if, when you've got teenage daughters like we have, they basically behave as if they despise you like 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Which you have to take on the chin. Mm. But it can sometimes get you down a little bit because all you want is for them to love you and for them to understand how much you love them.
And to appreciate how much you do for them.
Well, yeah, there's that too. But I'm never going to get that. I mean, I'll get glimpses of love. Yeah. But, you know, it means so much when you get a card from a teenage daughter. I mean, Len, obviously, you know, we do a lot of stuff together and he's still at an age where he feels comfortable. He gives me a lot of shit, don't get me wrong. I mean, he rips the piss out of me every day. But I also get affection from him. But from her, it was like, you know, it means somehow, not more, but do you know what I mean? It's such a contrast to their day-to-day conduct when they write you a really loving message. But the best bit about it all, they cooked me breakfast, which was really nice. They cooked me a full veggie breakfast. But then, mate, it was so good because my daughter had to go out to a birthday party at Go Ape, which is one of these things where you go up a fucking tree and swing about.
Yeah, I've seen that, right?
So she went off to that with her mate. And my son and my good wife went off to my niece's third birthday party.
Right.
Now, it's my niece, who I love very much. She's my brother-in-law's, she's my niece on my good wife's side, right? But you know what, Andy? I just thought, fuck that.
Yeah,
I'm not going.
Not on Father's Day. It's not for me.
Fucking Father's Day. What difference am I going to fucking make?
Yeah.
Uncle bald cunt sat in the corner looking at his phone wishing he was watching the Euros, right?
Helping himself to the buffet and then going upstairs to have a sleep.
Exactly. I mean, that's my usual MO, as you know. So I just thought, do you know what? Fuck that. She doesn't need me there, right? So I said, all the same to you, I'm staying home. It was brilliant. I worked out I hadn't had a whole day to myself in the house for, I guess, coming up for 2 years, right?
Fucking hell, yeah.
Like, in the house. Sometimes I find myself on my own. Like, it's why one of the main reasons I go out running or, you know, you're just out and about sometimes, but just in your own rig. So as soon as they went out, I had a tidy up, right, in the front room because I like things to be tidy. Yeah, and it's hard when the kids are around.
Did you have a shark up?
I'd done my shark up on Saturday.
Oh,
right?
Of course, Saturday.
So it was pre-sharked. The rig was pre-sharked, which was a great feeling. So I did a general tidy up, a wipe down. Yeah. I'd bought myself off of Amazon the day before, and it arrived on Father's Day as a present to myself. I can't believe I haven't had one of these before. I got myself one of those things that go over the arm of your sofa and hold the remotes in their own separate pockets. Yeah.
I've had one of them in the past, but my sofa arms mustn't have been suitable because it wouldn't stay on.
Did it slip?
Yeah. My sofa arms must have been too pointed, do you know what I mean, and not squared off enough. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. My first thing was, I have a lot of remotes, which was one of the main reasons. I have many remotes, 6 or 7 for all my devices.
So many devices in my home. So I could get one of those universal one-for-all remotes, but they're not the same.
I don't trust those. Right, so I thought it's either a universal remote for all, don't trust it, or a fucking a remote holster. Because when I tidy, I like to wipe down the coffee table, but then I have to put all the remotes back on the coffee table. So the coffee table never looks tidy, mate. There's too many fucking remotes on it.
It never looks perfect.
I want it to be perfect, especially for my special day where I'm having rig day on my own. So that arrived. I got everything fucking sorted. Then I've talked about this a little bit. I've touched upon it. I'm nervous to talk about it. You know, I tell most things about myself on this podcast.
You do?
You know, I was speaking only last Friday about the death of my grandmother.
It's what keeps her alive.
I'll admit to a lot of things, but this is something that I've only touched upon, and because I'm scared of what everyone's reaction will be. I'm scared of what your reaction will be. But over the last few years, particularly this last sort of period in lockdown, last whatever it is now, 18 months, I have got very into listening to jazz music.
Jesus Christ. Really?
Yeah, there it is. It's out there now.
What kind of jazz? Like
classic jazz. Classic from jazz. From the smooth jazz era.
Smooth jazz.
Like, so you're talking 50s and 60s, right?
Like kind of what, Count Basie, something like that?
Count Basie, Dave Brubeck, and then into Miles Davis. Stan Getz was listening to yesterday.
Chet Baker.
I don't have any Chet Baker at the moment. No. I mean, this is basic stuff. I'm not like... It's intimidating because the people who don't like jazz will go, fucking jazz, you fucking punts. And the people who do like jazz go, you think it's you're into jazz, you don't know anything about jazz. And of course, both sides are right. Yes, it is a bit poncy, so I am right to be criticised for that. And also, I know nothing about jazz. However, my father-in-law is, no word of a lie, one of the world's leading authorities in jazz. I know there's a lot of old men going around claiming that, but he is actually, he is quite noted. When he lives in Budapest, but when he lived in London, when he was exiled from Hungary for fucking having a gunfight with the Red Army, right,
we've all done it.
He had a show on the BBC World Service, which showcased jazz from all over Europe, and this was a cult show that people all over Europe listened to, you know, including ones in countries like Hungary where jazz was banned, but where they could pick it up on long wave. World Service. He worked for the World Service for many years as a producer and presenter, and he did it in Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did it in Hungarian and maybe in English as well. This was a jazz show for jazz all over Europe, right?
I think to do it in Hungarian is fuck pure jazz, isn't it?
That's pure jazz, isn't it? Because it's a jazz language.
Yeah,
it's a jazz language. Len, as you know, is bang into his Hungarian heritage, supports Hungary in the Euros, has a Hungary shirt, which he's not really taken off for the last few weeks, and is learning Hungarian.
Is he?
Over Skype. With his granddad, right?
Fantastic.
His granddad now promotes Hungarian jazz bands. He brings them, when lockdown's not on, he identifies like the best jazz musicians in Hungary, and then he fucking brings them and sets up tours for them in the UK. He brings them over here and tours them round. He's in his 80s, so he knows his stuff. And some of them, I've been to a couple of gigs before, some of them are gypsies, right? Because jazz is really big in the gypsy traveller community in Hungary.
Right.
And so you have these wonderful, like, sort of people who he, I don't know how he sort of discovers them, but like incredible, like, violinists and guitarists from the travelling community in Hungary. Anyway, I'm boring myself now. The point is, he sends me, like, primer. When I told him, look, I think I'm into jazz, having totally taken the piss out of him for years when I was younger, he now sends me records, right?
And primers. In the same way that he's teaching Len the language of Hungary, he's teaching you the language of jazz.
The language. That's exactly what he's doing.
He's teaching you
and
jazz.
And I don't know how... I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know the history of it. I don't know where any of it comes from, but I know what I like, right? Now, obviously, my good wife and my kids hate it. So yesterday, I had a tidy up. I made myself a pot of tea, right?
Yeah.
I stuck on my jazz record, right? I worked through practically my whole jazz collection. I thought, I'm going to binge on these. And God, I put
how long were
on.
You by yourself for? Fucking hell, hours?
From about 11 till 5:30.
Your jazz collection quite small.
It's smallish. And the one thing is that when you're playing it on vinyl, you're up and down off your arse a lot because you forget how quickly one side of a record runs out. You think, fucking hell, what were we doing in the 80s when we kept having to flip our records over? What a hassle. Anyway, I pot of tea, jazz records on, Stan Getz, West Coast Soul, West Coast Jazz, one of my favourites, and then FIFA career mode, fucking managing Sheffield Wednesday out of the Championship and back where they belong into the Prem.
Wow.
It was the best day ever. I was managing the Owls.
I totally get where you're coming from with all of that because although this probably seems counterintuitive to what Father's Day is probably meant to be, this you can't beat a bit of fucking dad time on your own away from the kids.
I hadn't had it for so long. And often when I find myself on my own, I'm like, got work to catch up with or chores. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to fucking have a day of pure leisure.
I mean, I've said this before for Christmas Day with me, because obviously I'm a divorced man. So we alternate between who has the kids on Christmas Day each year. So every other Christmas Day from about 3 p.m, I'll go to me mum and dad's for me dinner because I haven't got the kids. And then I'm on my own for the rest of the day for Christmas Day. And it's the only day in every 2 years that I get to spend any quality time on my own doing nothing.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
And you usually manage to have a nap on Christmas Day, don't you?
Get a nap. Get some fucking cans open. Get the telly on. And it's just, I love it. So. Yeah.
It feels fucking good, that sort of those moments.
Being a father and being at the helm and, you know, running the show and all that kind of thing is great. And it's nice to get that acknowledgement and respect and love for it. But you can't beat a bit of solo me time. Can't beat
fucking
it.
Fucking great.
And to get it on
my
Father's Day.
My missus said to me when she came home, how have you been on your own? And
you
I
been
said,
okay?
Yeah, because sometimes I do say I get lonely, right? Which I do. But on this occasion, I went, oh, it's been fucking great. And she looked a bit put out by that. And I went, well... I said, I haven't been on my own in this house for like...
I've been with
fucking
the jazz.
Best part of 2 years. I said, I never get to listen to my jazz records. I'll play my career mode on FIFA. Oh, fucking got so into it that when I went to bed last night, I had a smile on my face and I was thinking to myself, I've drifted into sleep last night smiling and thinking of what a good... job I'd done of rebuilding after we got promoted, shaping Sheffield Wednesday's team to not completely throw out the team who'd worked so hard to get us there in the first place, whilst also just adding with the small budget I had a few bits of extra quality to help us adapt to the Premier League. I was delighted with myself.
You've
all that
it.
To a soundtrack of John Coltrane.
Fucking sounds great.
Well, it was
that
great,
kind
mate.
Of that brings me on to yesterday. And the football, and me and my son watched the best bit of football action that we've seen probably in the last 10 days. And it was the National League playoff final between Torquay and Hartlepool.
I heard about this. I haven't seen it yet.
Because we've got a vested interest in Hartlepool, because when we both start playing Football Manager Mobile, on our iPads. We always start off as Hartlepool in the National League and try to see if we can work our way through the league as Hartlepool. So now we've both got an affinity with Hartlepool. And helpfully, Hartlepool's only fucking 15 miles down the road. So we're now planning trips to go and watch them play next season because they did it.
I've been
there,
mate.
Yeah, you have. That's true.
I've told you, fucking brilliant. One of the best away days of my whole life.
Yeah. So they won on penalties against Torquay. And it was about, I think there was about 8 penalties each in the end. Some hilarious misses and some really well taken ones. And it was just so fucking exciting. And I hope we end up with some good penalty shootouts in this Euro tournament as well.
Hang on a minute. Didn't the goalie come up?
Yeah, the goalie came up and scored in the 95th minute. Hartlepool were on the brink of winning it in normal time. And the Torquay goalie came up and scored in the 95th minute. Yes. So it went to extra time and then pens. Great stuff.
I mean, anything where the goalie comes up. It's more common now, isn't it? Even in the Premier League, goalies come up late on, which I don't like because it's taking the magic away from it if it just becomes standardised.
It's becoming ordinary. You're right, it is. Yeah,
yeah,
it
but it's good when they score. Really good when they score, isn't it?
Well, they're bound to score more, aren't they? I'm just hearing now, as we record this, that Billy Gilmore has tested positive for COVID-19 and he's going to be out of Scotland's game against Croatia. So that's a big blow for Scotland.
How do you think Graeme Souness feels about that right now?
Graeme Souness probably would probably just imagine that he should just shrug it off and play.
Graeme Souness walk it off. Friday night, one of the main themes of Graeme Souness's spectacular display on Friday night in his punditry for the England-Scotland game was Billy Gilmore, who he seemed to think had sort of morphed into a combination of Edgar Davids and Zinedine Zidane. Mm. I've got to say, obviously, it was a really shit quality game, boring, blah, blah, blah. But
I disagree,
for me, it didn't matter.
Okay.
For me, it didn't matter because Graeme Souness just elevated my night's viewing to a whole different fucking plateau. I mean, he was totally fucking on it. He was at his absolute peak, right? Both aesthetically, because I've never seen him looking so good, even in his playing days.
Oh, he dressed up for the occasion, didn't he? Yeah.
He dressed up. His tan's better than ever. He's done something to his teeth. There's not an ounce of fat on the fella. And he must be, well, how old do you reckon he is now? Late 60s?
Be about 65, I think, probably. The teeth, though. Are the teeth new for this tournament? I haven't noticed the teeth before.
I think he's splashed out on some Euros teeth.
He's 68. He's 68.
I'm going to get myself some fucking Euros teeth. This is double money. I've got my Sky contract, but in the year of a tournament, I'm allowed, under the terms of my Sky contract, to work freelance for ITV or BBC. So it's extra money that I wouldn't usually account for.
Are these
so I'm
teeth
getting myself some Euro teeth. Aye.
As part of my appearance for TV, these teeth are tax deductible. They pay for themselves.
It's a tax write-off.
Oh, God. Souness. Yeah.
He was fucking great. He was absolutely on it, like a car bonnet. It was incredible.
Jalapeño. Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings. Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
It reminded me of, I know I talked about Ray Wilkins on Friday, but it reminded me of another Ray Wilkins story that he told me, which was when they were in, they were both playing in Italy. So Wilkins was playing for AC Milan and Souness was playing for Sampdoria. And they used to sometimes meet up socially, right, in Italy when they got the opportunity to, because they'd known each other for years, you know. And when they flew back for international games, they would often meet at the airport lounge, right? They'd both fly from Milan, meet at the airport lounge, maybe have something to eat together, a little bit of a chat, lovely stuff. Unless they were flying back for a home international, right? In which case, Ray Wilkins told me that he would arrive at the usual place, see Souness sat in his usual spot, right, where they would usually meet up for a glass of wine or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said he would walk over to him and go, "Hello, Graham." And Graham Souness would stare straight ahead and not acknowledge him, right? And he would try a couple of times to say, "All right, can you hear me? Can you see me?" And then it would become apparent that if he asked again, there'd be big trouble. So it was. He said it was really weird. I just had to sit separately to him in the lounge on the plane. We'd land in London or wherever. There'd be no fucking, like, talking there. He would be absolutely combative and hostile on the pitch, as you would imagine. He would be the same all the way back, right, if they saw each other on the plane on the way back to Italy. But then the next time he saw him, it just wouldn't be mentioned and he'd be right as rain. "Raymond, how are you? Great to see you again." Hell. He said because it was to him, it was everything.
Yeah.
Beating England, right? And he just couldn't even look at Ray Wilkins for that weekend.
And he went on to then sign Ray Wilkins for Rangers, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But they were pals. That was it. That was what makes it mad. They were pals. They used to socialise with their wives, right, in Italy, because they were both abroad, fish out of water. They were close, you know, but I mean, wouldn't talk to him for that weekend. And what reminded me of that...
Go on.
...was just when Souness said before the game... So, I mean, Souness was really, on Friday night, he was like, he was simmering right to the edge of boiling point. Mm-hmm. He was, before it, he was so in a zone that he wasn't even listening to what the other pundits were saying. He was just on his own thing. And at one point, he just sort of blurted apropos of nothing, "We do not like each other. That's what this is about. We do not like each other." And I'm sitting there as an England fan. I mean, well, I quite like Scotland. I mean, there was moments in the game. I know this is sacrilegious. There was moments in the game where I was thinking, do you know what? Scotland fucking deserve to win this, and good luck to them.
That's not sacrilegious. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But, I mean, my perspective is that I couldn't give a fuck about England. And I haven't given a fuck about England for decades now. And I almost wanted Scotland to win it from the start because of the whole kind of tedious hype around England is fucking ridiculous and boring. And it goes on and on. It's happened again this morning. The team have announced that they're all going to dye their hair blonde if they win the tournament. If they win the tournament, fucking hell, have you had a look at what's been going on? Jesus Christ, if they win the tournament, I'll cut me fucking bollocks off if they win the tournament.
Wow, someone clip that out and stick it on Twitter.
I'll edit that out in case it happens, because you never know. They might grind their way to the final, but fucking hell. And Souness, for me, personified Scotland's... He was like an off-the-field personification of Scotland's performance. Scotland were fucking great the other night. For a team who were really fourth in the world, with a what's the population of Scotland? Something like 5 million? Something like that?
No idea.
Against this fucking this overhyped preening England team, who were completely unable to break them down, didn't have a fucking clue how to do it, and it would have been unjust if England had got a goal, which they never really looked like doing anyway.
Scotland are just easier to like. The fans as well. I mean, you know, a lot of things. I had a couple of mates who were there, and they said, and they were texting me from the stadium going, oh, it's just all IRA songs and stuff. And you sort of think, for fuck's sake, England, like, do you realise why people hate us? Everyone else, right? Just think of it this way, right? Aside from what your own politics are, I'm not even criticising that. I'm sure that, you know, guys like that who are there to just fucking get angry about the IRA or Black Lives Matter or whatever fucking thing that they're affronted by because it's people requesting freedom, right? they go along and forget about the politics of it. It's just, why are you going to football to be so angry, right? And the Scotland fans, I know there was a drunken aggro and stuff at Leicester Square, but they're basically just there for a fucking laugh, which is what it should be about.
Yeah.
They're just there for a laugh. England fans seem to be the only people in the world. What is it about, not all English people, but what is it about some English people? It's like, they're so fucking angry and hostile and aggressive, whereas other people look like, listen, we all fucking work year round. Life can be a fucking grind for anyone. Life can be tough. Football exists as something to fucking, you know, release all that pressure, release all the stress, release the seriousness, and just fucking indulge ourselves in something that brings us together in shared joy. And that's what you see. Well, I've been to tournaments around the world, and that's what you see in other fans, you know, that even if you are English, they will still... I've been in places where fucking Germany fans or France fans have come up and sung fucking Football's Coming Home with us in a non-sarcastic way, right? Because they're all working people who are like, fuck me, life's tough, this is a tournament, what a brilliant fucking release, like it felt when you were a kid. I think you get past sort of 16 in this country and you just are so enraged constantly by what, I don't know, that you're even going to use the thing that was designed as being a release, right, and a fucking glimpse of joy and happiness and love, right, and you're going to turn that into some sort of vehicle for your own frustration and hatred and anger. And you sort of think, there is something fucking up with this society, that there is so many people who just cannot fucking quit having the ump the whole time.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I said before, I went an England game at the stadium like a few years ago, and the atmosphere was just fucking poisonous compared to a regular match there. It's completely different, and there was all that anger, and there was all the IRA songs, and there was vociferous chest beating to fucking God Save the Queen and all that sort of thing. And it was just fucking weird. I've never seen anything like it at a football match before, because you don't get that at club level. You don't get that kind of amplified pride or that kind of fucking simmering rage that you're talking about. It doesn't happen when you go to see your club team. You might be fucked off at the way they're playing at the minute, or who the manager is, or the fact that you're in a relegation battle, but it doesn't underpin everything that you go for. No. It's a byproduct.
Although sometimes I'm at West Ham and I do fucking see it more than I used to. What I used to love about going to West Ham was there was a daftness to it that I found appealing, right? Which I'm sure wasn't unique to West Ham. But I did sort of think that, you know, West Ham were kind of a scruffier club, an underdog club, you know, were sort of well aware of our status, you know, of our position in the hierarchy, and just sort of fucking saw it as like a right good laugh sort of thing. That was one of the things that appealed to me. And now, I'm not saying that's gone, but even at West Ham, I see a growing, like, minority of people who do get fucking, they're angry about the owners or the stadium or whatever, whatever. And we've talked about it before, at this time of year, you get people fucking raging because your club hasn't gone and spent a sufficient amount of money on players you've never heard of, right? And I do think it's just such a shame, because it's like, sometimes I just think there's no difference between, well, there is, but let's categorise football as like your entertainment, your leisure activity you do outside of work and the normal grind, right? So it's like going to the movies, right? It's like going to the movies or to go and see a concert, or maybe even going to the leisure centre, Andy, for a swim and a splash about.
Or go to a jazz recital.
Going to a jazz recital in my case, yeah. And you sort of think, you wouldn't fucking choose to do those things and spend quite a lot of money on them to then just become fucking irate. If it made you irate, If going to the cinema just made you persistently irate, right, like it does my dad, for instance. My dad wouldn't go to cinema because he finds all films, what does he think they are? He thinks they're all far-fetched.
Yeah.
He hates films because he thinks it's insulting that he's being asked to believe any of these things would happen.
What does he want to see instead? Like CCTV footage of fucking city centres?
Exactly. But even that he'd cast doubt over. Right, so my dad, but to be fair to him, he won't go to cinema or watch films because he thinks films are shit and they anger him because he finds them insulting, right? So he's shrewd enough to not fucking watch films. He watches football because he never gets angry about football, and he laughs at me and my brothers if he's watched games like England games with us when we were younger, and we would be going, come on, England, and getting all wound up. He would find that very, very funny and wind us up about it by persistently always saying that he wanted the other team to win, which I now realise why he was doing that, right? Because he was probably felt slightly low-level ashamed that he had sons who would get themselves that worked up over a fucking football match. And I can see that. He's right. He was right to feel a bit ashamed. And so he doesn't watch films, but any other leisure pursuit that costs a lot of money, if it was only making you angry and aggressive and uptight, you would just stop fucking doing it. Right?
It's like a peculiarly English thing, though, isn't it? They just need something to be angry about, whether it's fucking Brexit or lockdown or the fucking football team or the IRA, whatever.
Or Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, let's just be fucked off about this. And then you go on Twitter, and Twitter's just like this space where everyone just congregates in order to be angry now. And I don't think people have realised how intense it's got. They're like frogs that have been boiled in a pot. And now everyone just logs on and looks for the thing that we're all going to be angry about each day.
Listen, I've got a mate who's one of the most placid guys I know, right? And yet he was, you know, suffered from depression, anxiety and all those other things that so many of us get. But his main trigger is that He got into the habit of seeking out, like, opposing points of view to his own online. He couldn't help
Jesus
it.
Christ.
So he's one of these guys who's on Twitter, but I don't think he's ever tweeted in his life. The reason he's got an account on Twitter, right, is that he will go and look for, like, far-right kind of, you know, dialogue that is going on there, right? Or when Brexit was a big thing, he got very, very angry and wound up about Brexit. That's something that I never allowed myself, just for self-preservation. I never allowed myself, I had my opinion on it, but I didn't allow myself to get emotionally invested, right?
Mm.
I just couldn't bring myself to. But, you know, a lot of people did. And he was like, you know, he's the sort of bloke who, so he's like, a right Remainer. I mean, you know, he was very passionate about staying in the EU, but he wakes up in the morning, he'll spend his time looking at the comment section on the Daily Mail to see what the other side are thinking.
Jesus Christ.
And you think, what, just stop. It's not a hard thing. It's not like when you're ill and you're like, oh, the doctor's tried everything, but we're just waiting for one of the medications to work, right? Or you got a bad back, you go, well, I've been to a chiropractor, that didn't work, I'm going to try an osteopath, or if not, acupuncture. It's like, it's really simple. In this case, if it's driving you mental, just stop doing it and then it's over.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But people seek out, like you say, people seek out things. What is it about the English that makes us almost in a masochistic way seek out anger, pain, conflict and rage, right? What is it that makes us do that?
Get in touch. Give us a call.
So this is what we're asking today to you, the listeners. Why are you angry? Get in touch and tell us why you're angry. Why are you pissed off? Because I know I am. I'm not pissed off. I've just had all day managing Sheffield Wednesday into the Premier League whilst listening to classic jazz records.
I didn't even tell you this bit.
We'd had people round the night before. We'd had my brother and his missus had come over for dinner, right? Mm. There was fucking cake left over. Because they brought cake, but they brought some cake, some M&S cakes, right? But we'd already prepared dessert, right? Yeah. So the cakes were left. So I'm sitting there, right, playing FIFA, and I'm having a cup of tea. And you know when you get that thing, you think, you know what? I fancy something. I don't know what. I just fancy something with this cup of tea. What could it be? I bet we've got nothing in the house. Fucking hell, there's leftover cake. M&S fucking cakes, mate. Unbelievable. What a day.
Get in there. What a day.
How could a man like me be angry after a day like that?
Exactly. Exactly. We're going to do some predictions before we go, because we're Euro 20 prediction league spiralling out of control. The last session, you got 2 points. I got 2 points. Result book got 4 points.
What the fuck's he up to? He's done cunt. Fuck all for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. He's on 15. You're on 9. I'm on 7. This is ridiculous.
I know what's woken that cunt up. It's that little car from the opening ceremony.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
He got a right buzz off that, didn't he?
At last,
tiny car.
As a robot, you don't often see role models or individuals you can relate to in the mainstream. Finally, my people are represented. Robotic eyes matter. So yeah, he just feels validated. Yeah.
Well, let's just try and overpower him here, shall we? Because there's 5 more matches coming up to predict. Here we go: Finland versus Belgium. Go on.
I'd say that will be 1-0 to Belgium.
1-0 to Belgium. I think it will be 2-1 to Belgium. Russia versus Denmark. This will be... Oh, fucking hell, Denmark. What are you going to do here? 1-0 to Denmark.
I'll say 2-1 Denmark.
Czech Republic versus England.
Ooh. I actually think this will be 2-0 to England.
I think this will be 1-1. Slovakia versus Spain. Oh God, Spain are terrible. Jesus Christ, it's like a Spain tribute group.
It's like Tom and Jerry when they started making them talk.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to be that Spain team of 10 years ago, but they haven't got the fucking personnel. It's painful. Slovakia, Spain, 1-0 Slovakia.
Fucking hell. I could see that happening. But I'll say 1-0 Spain.
Okay. And then Germany versus Hungary. What do you reckon? Germany versus Hungary.
Germany were fucking tough good one. The other night, weren't they? That was a great game, Germany-Portugal, wasn't it? That was so exciting.
Not as good as Torquay-Hartlepool, but it was good.
Mind you, I really enjoyed watching Hungary draw with France. Obviously, I had skin in the game. But that was good, man. Well. Hungary are sort of a bastard team of hard-working... Dogged, aren't they? Difficult, quite ugly men.
Yeah.
Honestly, they all look like 50 years old. If you haven't noticed this, have a good look.
It's a bit of a derby vibe about it because they're not far apart, are they? They're not too far away.
What, Germany and Hungary?
Yeah.
Yeah, also the fucking Nazis were banging there in the war as well. Yeah, causing fucking havoc.
What do you reckon?
So, I could say, do you know what? I'm going to back my son here and say 1-1.
1-1. I think Germany will win 3-1. Sorry.
Yeah, probably.
All right. That's it from this episode and the predictions and everything else. More stuff coming up. A brand new history box starting tomorrow. You have to wait and find out what that's all about. And keep listening. Keep listening with your ears and also your eyes.
Remember, Jesus loves you, even if everyone else thinks you're a cunt.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.